All right, let's turn to John chapter 12. John 12, and I want to cover verses 44 through 50 with you. Let's begin reading what our Lord cried in the opening verse, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." Now, this is the last time that many of these Jews are going to hear Christ speak. And he's declaring to them who he is and what he's come to do in fulfilling the Father's will for his people. And so he's telling them exactly who he is. There's nothing kept secret. There's nothing that the Lord's hiding from anyone. He's declaring plainly and boldly the truth of who he is. He's making it known to everyone in speaking these words and declaring these words and recording it in his word, where his word is read throughout the week, every day since he's recorded it here in the word. And so we ought to take note of what's happening here, how many of these Jews were there. And they didn't believe, they didn't hear, they didn't give him any heed or attention to the things that he was saying. But let us remember, this is our Lord who came in the flesh, our mediator. This is our risen Lord and Savior who rose from the dead after he laid down his life for you, his beloved bride. This is our ascended King who now sits on the throne of God, ruling and reigning and implementing the will of God for you, both in heaven and in the earth. And so pray, brethren, that we hear our Lord always with understanding. Otherwise, we're just hearing it as these Jews heard it, with a fleshly ear and a hard heart and blind eyes, unable to know, this is my God and my Savior. I pray the Lord bless us this morning and always to hear our Savior and to rejoice in him. So our Lord is teaching us here that to believe on him is to believe on God. You know, we stumble over that where he says, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me," but good, clean way to read it is, "He that believeth on me believeth on him that sent me." You that believe me, you believe my Father who sent me. And so any man that says, I believe God, I just don't really give any heed to this Jesus of Nazareth, this Jesus Christ. I don't really believe in him. That one who says he believes in God and doesn't believe Christ, And thinks he has a relationship with God, he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's deceived himself, and he's not speaking the truth, and he's yet in his sins. And this is how we all speak. We all speak falsely, and we speak lies until we're given the Spirit of God and given life by the Spirit of God and made alive by him, being born of the seed of Christ, whereby we have the light of Christ shining in us, making known to us all things. All things. I've titled this message, "Believe God by Believing Christ." Believe God by believing Christ. So let's look at verse 44 again. John 12, 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." And so here is very plain and simple language. And he's telling us that faith in Christ is faith in God. Faith in Christ, believing Christ, is believing your God. It doesn't work the other way around, though. You can't believe God and not believe Christ. But you that believe Christ, that's how we believe our God. We're trusting our God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we believe him. That's how we trust him. That's how we're testifying, yes, Lord, you're faithful, honest, true, and just, and perfect in all your ways. You sent your Son to save your people. Lord, save me. Have mercy on me. All other hopes and professions that people make of God, they're just delusions. They're just dead sinners yet in their sins. They have a vain hope. He that does not know God is yet enmity. He that doesn't know Christ is yet enmity against God and has no light or knowledge concerning God. He's still spiritually dead. And so to come to God, our Lord teaches us throughout his word that we must be perfect. No man shall see the Lord who's a sinner, who's yet in his sins. No one shall stand before the Lord in that day. But only by the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how we're made perfect. That's how our God perfects us and how he accepts us, how he receives us. We're being received by our God. There's an article in the bulletin today that was written by Pastor Paul Mahan, and he speaks about accepting or rejecting. And man foolishly says, I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. God isn't the one on trial. We're the ones on trial. And we're either condemned already or we're not condemned by the grace of our God as he chose us in Christ. And you that believe Christ, that's a gift of God. That's not of your flesh. That's your God testifying to you that you are his, that he's called you to himself. So I want to show you this. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. We've read this a lot. Ephesians 1. We're going to pick up in verse 3 and read down to verse 10. But in every verse that we come to, what is this, 8 verses? Every verse, it shows us that our salvation is directly, immediately tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every verse. I'll emphasize Christ in each verse. So Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There we see that our blessings, our spiritual blessings, are tied directly to Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, he's speaking about Christ, wherein, in Christ, he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the Lord Jesus Christ's shed blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8, wherein, in Christ, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. His good pleasure is Christ. He's well pleased with the Son, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every verse, it ties all our hope, all our salvation, all our security, all our forgiveness, all our life everlasting is tied to our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we are married, by whom we are redeemed, by whom we know the true and living God and have fellowship with him. All blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ given to us by our God and him. And so our Lord is declaring to these Jews that are all about him on this final day that they're going to see him in this manner before he's taken and brought to the cross. all these Jews and us who are reading these words this day, Christ alone, he's showing us that Christ alone is the mediator between God and men. He is the salvation God has provided. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if your sins are forgiven, it's only going to be by the blood of Christ. It's only going to be by the Holy Spirit sent of the Father and the Son to wash us by the blood of Christ, to remove the guilt and shame of our conscience, to establish us in the kingdom of our God and Savior in His Son. And God only receives redeemed sinners. He only receives those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, purchased by the Lord, coming robed in His righteousness. So when He says in John 12:44, He that believeth on Me, believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me, it means that Christ Himself is the true object of our faith. We're believing Him. We're confessing Him. We're trusting that His blood is sufficient for me. And He's the one that is set before us in the gospel. He's the one that all the preaching of the Word of God is pointing our hearts to, directing our eyes and our attention and our ears to Christ. To Christ. That's our salvation. And so the Father's well pleased with His Son. That's why He points us to Christ, because everything for the sinner is fully provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's well pleased with Him. It's God's good pleasure. And He's well pleased with all who come to Him in the Son. You that have no other hope, you that have no righteousness of your own, but come in the Son, trusting His blood is sufficient, God is well pleased with you. He's well pleased with you in Christ. And so the reason why is because that is God's will. God's will and purpose that He's given to us throughout His Word is showing to us that God will be gracious to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where He's purposed to meet with His people. That's where He's purposed to put away our sin. That's where He's purposed to give us life and every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so by believing in Christ, you're believing God also. You're believing in the one who sent Him. By worshiping Christ, you're worshiping the one who sent Him. By praising Him, you're praising the one who sent Him for His wisdom and beauty and power and glory, for providing such a full, complete, unable to fail salvation. It just can't be undone, and it can't fail. Can't fail. It's perfect. And He's the one who did it. He committed us all to the care of His Son so wisely, so perfectly, before the foundation of the world was ever laid. He took into care every single detail to ensure your salvation, that none of you is lost. None of you shall come short of that righteousness, that glory, that eternal life and inheritance in Christ. None of His sheep shall ever come short of that. Now, if any of us believes Christ, we know that our faith, the faith that we have, has been given to us. Right? We wonder, sometimes we get scared and we think, maybe I'm just kidding myself. Maybe I'm seeking the Lord and He won't forgive me. No, you that believe Christ, you that have no other hope, that's faith. And that faith is the gift of God. It's not of your flesh. It's of the gift of God. You that continue in Him, it's the gift of God. If you don't continue, then it was of your flesh. But you that can't not believe, all you can do is trust. Even when you don't see anything in yourself that gives you hope, that's a good thing. Because that's not the foundation of our hope and confidence in God, that we see things that we like. It's that we see Christ. It's that we keep seeing Christ and keep looking to Him and aren't looking away from Him. Turn over to John 6 and we'll see this. John 6 verses 44 and 45. Christ tells us this very truth. John 6, 44. No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. All my people will be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. You that come to Christ, you that are believing on him, it's by the grace of God. One more now. Go to 1 John 2. 1 John 2, and then don't turn away from 1 John right away. 1 John 2, first, let's look at verses 22 and 23. John writes, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He's Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Right? It's a union. You deny one, you're denying the other. You can't split them apart. "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." They come together. And that's what God has taught you. You don't try to separate Christ and God. You believe Christ, and so you believe the Father. You're trusting him who sent him. And so if we receive Christ, we receive the Father who sent him. If we despise Christ, we despise the Father who sent him. Now go to 1 John 4:15. 1 John 4:15. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." You see that? You that believe Christ, it's because God dwells in you. It's because you know the Father. Otherwise, you wouldn't believe the Son. But because you believe the Son, it's because God dwells in you and has revealed that faith and hope in you. "For therein," Paul said, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so, because that's the will of God, that the just live by faith, he gives it to all his children. He gives faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, speaking of revelation, our Lord says back in John 12, let's look at verse 45. He says, "He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." Now, here's a wonderful, amazing word, a wonderful thought, that when Christ entered the world, robed in flesh, he made the invisible God visible to man. He made the invisible God visible to man, because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Christ. But as wonderful as that is, our Lord means something more. He's speaking spiritually here to his people. And so, you that see Christ by the eye of faith, which God has given you, you see him as the God-man mediator. He's not just a man to you. He's not just a good man, a prophet, a special man. He's the God-man mediator whom the Father has sent to save his people from their sins. He accomplished our redemption. He shed his blood, making an atonement for our sin, to put away our sin, to give us life and light and liberty by his grace and sending his Spirit. He did all this that God may be just to justify us, because we are righteous before God in his Son, to declare his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, as we behold Christ in all his glory of redemption, we're beholding the wisdom and the glory of our God. We're seeing the glory of God. We're seeing the power and the wonder of our God who provides richly for his people. Turn over to John 14. Let's look at John 14. We're going to first look at verse 1. Our Lord says to us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." In another place, our Lord said back in John 8, verse 54, he said, "It's my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God." If God is your God, you believe also in Christ, because he dwells in his people. Now look at verse 6 through 10. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, speaking to Philip, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, from here forward, ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And so we see that precious union between the Father and the Son. We see how faithful Christ is, coming not to do his own will, but to do the will of the Father, who purposed to save his people in the Christ, in the Savior. And in Christ we behold the love of God that he has for you, his chosen people, his beloved people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, not only are we given a much greater understanding and knowledge of our God by Christ, but we see how that Christ, who is the light, sheds light on everything. He reveals all things to us. In John 12, back in John 12:46, this is what he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And that's where we begin to see and understand and know the things of God. And by him we see and know and understand all the things that our God is revealing to us and teaching us. It's by Christ. So that through every adversity, we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, he said in John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then in Proverbs 28:5, we're told, they that seek the Lord understand all things. All things. Christ is the light, and in him we understand all things. Now that might seem a bit strange to some, because we have questions and we don't know the answers to all things. So how is it that we understand all things? We that trust Christ, we that look to him and see the things, the various troubles that we all have in this life, and the disappointments and the trials that we go through, though we don't always know why a thing is happening, and we don't always know what the outcome's going to be, but what our Lord does give us an understanding of is that he is sovereign, and he sits on the throne, and all things are ordered and sure by him. It's all working according to his will and purpose for you, for your good, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an understanding. That's the understanding that our God gives us. We don't need to know the answer to MC squared. We don't need to know all the answers to physics and science and mathematics and literature and be able to speak wisely in every situation by having the right answer, if you will, to that pertinent thing. But we do know that our God is sovereign, and he's seated on the throne, and nothing comes to pass except he wills it and purposes it for our good, to the glory and praise of his name and for our good. It's all coming together exactly as he purposes. John wrote in 1 John 2, verse 20, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." You do know all things. You know Him who is all. You know Christ. And everything's secure in Him. Everything's perfect in Him. And He's teaching you and has taught you and is teaching you, trust Him. Leave it with Him. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And so we may leave it at His feet and know that it's all taken care of. We may cry out to Him. We may call upon Him. We may breathe before Him words that can't even be uttered and know, Lord, You have everything. You've got it all in Your Son. You've got everything taken care of. So in Christ also, we're taught, I'm a vile sinner, so that we let go of our own righteousness. We part from those things that cannot save. We're not trusting in the law. It's the Lord who taught you that. The faith that you have is taught to you, given to you by Jesus Christ. You know that He's sufficient to save you to the uttermost, and you trust Him. That's all given to us by the light of Christ, who's revealed that to us and turned us from false ways and dark ways and vain ways and brought us into the light of His Son, brought us into the light of Christ. And so our Lord, He takes His lost sheep, He removes them from utter and complete darkness and confusion and false ways and dead-end ways and ways of death, and He brings us into the kingdom of light, whereby we know, Lord, thank You. I'm as satisfied with Christ as You are satisfied with Christ. I want no other righteousness. I don't want to go anywhere else. Lord, where else can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And so that's Christ who gives that to you. That's His light that shines that and gives that knowledge. You know all things in Christ. And that's what He's, you that know Christ, though you don't know anything else, you know all things. There's nothing hid from you because you're perfect in Him. You're accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what our Lord brings us to see. It's all done and complete in Him. It's all sufficient in Christ. Now our Lord then says in verse 47, John 12, 47, "If any man hear My words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." And so our Lord is speaking here. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is going to judge all men, but He's speaking here as in His first coming. The purpose of His first coming was that He came in the flesh. He came in the weakness of the flesh. He came not to destroy His enemies. He came to save His people from their sins. If He had shown His light and shown His power, they wouldn't have been able to crucify Him. They never would have put Him to death, and then we'd still be in our sins. So He came faithfully, in meekness, doing the will of the Father perfectly to bring about our salvation, to accomplish our atonement. That's how faithful He is. So He didn't come to start destroying His enemies. There is coming a judgment day, and Christ is going to judge the people, but He came first to gather His sheep so that His sheep would be delivered from the everlasting death and punishment that is coming upon the inhabitants of the earth who know not God, who have no part in Christ. He delivered you from that by doing what He did and coming the way He came as a Lamb of God, as our sacrifice for our sins. So now is the accepted day. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And hear what the prophet Micah said. He said it this way, Micah 7:18, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy." Your God delights in mercy. And that's why He sent His Son. And that's why His Son accomplished your salvation. He's the successful Savior. He did not fail. That's why you're here, why you believe, and why all His sheep are gathered together in Christ, in one body, in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him even this very hour. And those lost sheep who are yet his, they too shall be brought in before our Lord returns. They shall all be saved. Not one of them is lost. Not one. Not one of them. Now look at verse 48. John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now this word that Christ speaks of is the gospel word. It's the gospel. The gospel is going to judge the wicked in the last day when our Lord returns to judge the people of the earth. You know, Paul said it this way in Romans 2:16. He said, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And that's what he's saying. Christ is going to judge the people, and it's by the gospel. Our Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And what our Lord is doing in declaring the gospel is he's erasing all the middle ground that men try to flee to. Right? Men try to sidestep. They don't want to get involved with religion. They don't want to get into these confrontations. And they think that by remaining disinterested and remaining in a neutral posture, in a neutral ground, that somehow they're safe. And the Lord's saying there is no middle ground. You're either with me, you're either of my sheep, or you're not of my sheep. You're either for me or you're against me. And so there's a truth, the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom our God has made known to us through the preaching of his word, his gospel word, and man's indifference that he thinks is protecting him, that he's hiding behind us. I'm just going to straddle this fence here. What the Lord is showing us is that, no, that's just lightly esteeming the Son whom I've sent. That's despising the Son whom I've sent. That's despising the Lord, the Father, who sent him. And so the only safe ground that any of us has is in the blood of Christ. Flee to the refuge that God has provided for his people. Freely, abundantly, in this day of grace, flee to the Son. Look to him. Cry out to him for mercy, because he receives all that come to him and ask him for mercy. He'll turn none away. You that are sinners, you that need a Savior, go to the Son. Look to him now. Trust him. Ask him to have mercy on you. He turns none away. None away. He's gracious to all who call upon him. And all to whom he is gracious, they call upon him. they do call upon him. Now, I'm aware that man is going to do what he wants to do. Man by nature does exactly what his nature wants to do. And that's why God changes the nature of his people. That's why he makes his people new creatures in Christ. When our Lord came into this world in the flesh, he tells us the wicked were condemned already. They were already condemned. They didn't believe the truth. Look over at John 3. Let's go to John 3 for a few verses. John 3:17 and 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on Christ is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so our Lord is saying that man was already in a state of enmity and rebellion against God. And the fruit of their condemnation is made evident in their rejection of Christ. They just do what's very natural to them, to themselves to do. And so he doesn't believe God, but his hatred of God is put on display. It's put on display and made evident that he has not the love of God dwelling in him. He has no love of God in him. Now, let's look at verses 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Christ came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But also that one who's given life by the Lord Jesus Christ, they manifest fruit as well. They manifest fruit consistent with one who is a child of God, one who is born of the Spirit of God. The way their life is manifested is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were not condemned. They were delivered, and Christ came to fulfill all that was needed to ensure their life in salvation. Verse 21, John 3:21, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now God has wrought these works in us by his power, his glory, his salvation. He's given us a new nature. He's regenerated his people. And in the time, in the appointed time, in the hour of their salvation, he regenerates his people by sending the Holy Spirit, who gives light and life and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, taking the things of Christ, the seed, the incorruptible seed of Christ, whereby we are born again to know our God and to rejoice in him. All right, now let's begin to wrap this up, looking back in John 12, verses 49 and 50. Our Lord says, I've not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he hath given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And so our Lord and Savior is faithful to the will of God his Father. He's faithful to save his people. And this commandment of God is that all who see the Son, all who see that he is the salvation of God and hear his voice, they believe on him. They trust him. And that's why all I can say to you is, look to Christ. Believe him. He is the very salvation God has provided. There is no salvation in any other. We cannot save ourselves, and there's not another Savior. It's Jesus Christ alone. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you don't believe in Christ, he tells us, you'll die in your sins, and you'll stand before God to pay the penalty, the eternal punishment for your sins that you've committed, because you have no remedy. You have no Savior. If you don't believe Christ, you have no Savior. Christ said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Christ was sent of God as the mediator between God and men, the one who gathers the sheep together in his body, making us whole before God. So I urge you, go to Christ, look to him, believe him, trust him. He's all the salvation. He's all that the sinner needs to stand complete before holy God. Beg him. And you that believe Christ, rest in him. Rest in him. Keep looking to him. Continue in him. Look to no other. Don't even look to yourself. Don't look within. Trust him. Because he is salvation for his people. 1 John 3:23 and 24. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And so that's how you know that you're hearing what Christ is saying. You believe him. You know, Lord, if this isn't salvation, I cannot be saved. There is no other. There is no way. I'm not righteous in myself. I can't work a righteousness for myself. But you sent Christ, and he's sufficient. Lord, keep me. Cover me with his blood. Save me, Lord. And he tells us this promise in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. And here it is, but is passed from death unto life. So rejoice in the Lord. Be glad in Him, because you that trust Christ are sufficient. You could walk out this door and be hit by a bus, and you're complete in the Lord Jesus Christ if He's all your hope and you trust in Him. And if you're the Lord's, you do trust Him. You do trust Him. Because in He in whom God dwells, He reveals the Son, and the Son reveals the Father to you. Amen.